Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? This is a question asked by Paul. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? If we put God aside, what is the most powerful force in the world? If you put God aside, don't think about God. What is the most powerful what? What is the most powerful thing in the world? In the human life, what is the most powerful thing? Just set God aside. Of course, God is the more powerful. In the Bible, you can find it from the Bible, right? If we put God aside, the most powerful thing in the world is what? Everybody will surrender. That's the most powerful thing. Yes. Death is the most powerful one, right? Even you become president, one day you still surrender. Everybody will surrender to death. Death is the most powerful one. Right? And who can overcome death? Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has so-called what? Soul power, right? Jesus Christ don't have rifle. Jesus Christ don't have atomic bomb. Right? Jesus Christ did not have an army fight for him, right? But Jesus Christ has soul power. It's so powerful, he can resolve the death. But let's think about another thing. Death is most powerful according to Ecclesiastics, right? Everybody surrender. Everyone have, there is a timing. There is a timing you are born, right? There is a timing you will die. When the timing comes, you just surrender, right? Nobody can prolong the life. The most powerful one in our human being is death. Now, let's think about another one, What is as powerful as death? From the Bible. What is something is as powerful as death? In the Old Testament. What is as powerful as death? Yes, you. Yes. Yeah, you guess you're right. You are very familiar with the Bible, right? The book of Song of Solomon, the end of the Song of Solomon says, 爱如死之坚强, death is, love is as strong as death. So what does that mean? Even though death is so powerful, but love is as strong as death. Right? You know, in the national park, if you see a news that a bear attacked a tourist, now, and usually, do you know what the authority will treat the bear? The bear will be shot to death, right? Oh, if the bear attacked the tourist without reason. But only one condition, the bear will be spared. About what? If this is a mother bear, and the mother bear have the small bear, right? So when the mother bear take care of the small bear, that you approach to a certain distance, and the mother bear feel threatened, and the mother bear will start to attack. The reason the mother bear start to attack without any regard of any kind of consequence is because the mother bear want to protect the small bear. So because of this, what, mother nature, this is not father nature, right? Mother nature, right? the mother bear don't have to shout to death. Love is as strong as death. Now, the Bible say, well, not the Bible say, there's a saying that, like the father, like the son, right? Right? Like the father, like the son, right? So usually, you grown up in a what kind of family, you will reflect the character of your father, right? Usually. But nowadays, it may not be in this way. Because nowadays, you grown up under the internet. You look like the internet, right? The more you expose to internet, the more you look alike. Everybody looks like the people in the internet. Now, like the father, like the son, before the public media is very advanced, most of people, they spend time at home. And they have a very long time together with the father. So the son will be very same character like a father. What as I try to say is, we have another father. Who? And that father is Jesus Christ. It's God himself. Right? So if we spend more time together with God, like the father and like the son, right? We have the same character like God. And God has two divine characters. The most important divine tribute of God. What are they? One is love. Another one is justice. So if you look into the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah from chapter 1 to chapter 39 is talk about God's justice. So when God look his chosen people, he look from the perspective of justice. So God get angry. God sends a prophet to warn them. Right? And even God prophesy they are going to be captured in captivity. And then from chapter 40 to chapter 66 is talk about God's love, a merciful father who sympathizes a sinful children. So God moved the prophet, give them a lot of comfort and give them a lot of promise. God is going to bring them back after they suffer. So God is love, but God is spirit, right? Spirit is something intangible, and love is something intangible, right? So, how can we know God loves us very much? If we really understand God loves us very much, love is as strong as death, right? We will love God in return. If we have no feeling about God's love, then it's very difficult for us to love God in return. And that exactly what we are going to think about in this section. So the Bible says, who can separate us from the love of God? We just read. It is a tribulation, affliction, persecution, famine. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, verse 39, chapter 8, verse 39, Romans. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And next one, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So love of God is in our Lord, Christ Jesus. So the very concrete manifestation in a tangible way of God's love is Jesus Christ. So if we want to understand God's love, the very, very effective way is to examine what Jesus has done for us. Then we will be touched by the love of God. Now, you know, who can separate from the love of God? If we look into the historical account in the New Testament, the three disciples who went to the top of the mountain to behold the transfiguration of Jesus, who are they? Three disciples who behold the transfiguration of Jesus. Who are they? Brother, who are they? Peter, James, and John, right? The three disciples, Jesus brought them to pray together in the Garden of Gethsemane. Who are they? You don't know. Three disciples who prayed together with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Who are they? The same, right? Peter, John, and James. Yes. But do you know Peter, John, and James, how did they die? According to historical account, most of them died martyrdom, right? Died for Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, last chapter, talk about before Jesus' ascension, what did he tell Peter? Peter, when you are young, right? You can go everywhere you want to go, right? You want to go to South America, Africa, everywhere you can go, right? But when you are old, what is going to happen? Somebody is going to tie you up and bring you to somewhere you don't want to go. And this is the prediction that Peter is going to die for Jesus Christ. Right? If somebody today moved by Holy Spirit, only if, and predict, right? When you are young, you can go anywhere. But, brother, when you are old, you'll be tied up, bring to somewhere you don't want to go. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have pray and pray and fast and pray, right? Lord, this bitter cup, I cannot bear it. Please forgive me, right? I can live for you, but I cannot die for you. Right? To us, it's too much. But all the disciples who love Jesus Christ eventually die for Jesus Christ. Why? You ask a question, why? There's only one question. Why? Because the love of Jesus Christ compelled them. So the love of Jesus Christ is really, really powerful. Now, the reason we cannot be transformed is because we are not filled by the love of Jesus Christ. The reason we still stick on our own way is because we are not compelled by the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ is so powerful. And how come a lot of people have no feeling about the love of Jesus Christ? How? There are three reasons why we have no feeling about the love of Jesus Christ. The first reason, we don't understand how noble our status is. Now, let's turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 2. The book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. So God conveys the message through the prophet to the Israelite. I have loved you. Complete tense. Not I will love you. I will love you means a future tense. I have loved you means completed already. Oh. But what is the response of Israel? Yes, you say, in what way have you loved me? So to the Israelite, they have no feeling. I don't know, where do you love me? Right. Oh. And then, what was the response of God? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says the Lord. Yes, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And they waste his mountains and his heritage. So to God, the way he loved Jacob. Now, he has loved Jacob, right? And he hated Esau. Now, my question is, how do you know God loved Jacob? God said, I already love you, right, Jacob? And how do you know God loved Jacob? Anybody know? How do you know God loved Jacob? You don't know. You don't know why God, how did God love Jacob? Brother, do you know? Okay. Let us think about, huh? Jacob, the name of Jacob means what? Hold on, grasp, right? And later on, Jacob was changed the name into what? He wrestled with God, right? And God changed his name into what? Israel. And what is the meaning of Israel? The meaning of Israel is a prince of God. So when God says, I love you, I love Jacob, means he chose Jacob as the prince of God. Very noble status, prince of God. All right. So that is the way God showed love. Usually we understand love by what? In the holiday season, who loves you the most? The one who gives you the most money or precious gift, right? He is the one who loves you the most, right? So we always use a monetary way to show our love. But when God says, I love you, God did not express in that way, through God's selection. Become very noble. And how come Jacob, Israel was to be changed to the name of Israel is the love of God? The first is a covenant. God made covenant with Israel. And all the law belonged to him. And that promised land, the land filled with honey and milk belong to him. And that promise means then represent the kingdom of God in heaven. Right? Oh. Now, how do we know that God loves us? The same question. How do we know that God loves us? Can you find where the Bible says, God so loved the world? I will give you the first sentence. Right? God so loved the world. Where? God so loved the world? In the four gospel. Where? John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here talk about the most precious gift of God to human being is what? His only begotten Son. The most serious crisis of human being is what? Is what? Perish. Right? The most precious hope of a human being is what? Eternal life. So because God gave Jesus Christ to us, so we can come out of perish. We can have hope of everlasting life. So the love of God manifests in Jesus Christ so that we can avoid the perish of our sin. We can obtain the eternal life of salvation. So, 1 John talk about 神真是爱我们, God loves us so much. He talk about three things. 1 John, can you find out? First John chapter 3. When the Bible talk about how much God loves us, he talk about three things. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Verse 2. Behold, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he revealed, we shall like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, how can it tell whether this person is still a child or this person already grown up? Right? You put $100 bill, right, beside a toy, and the toy a battery inside will make noise, will run around, right? If you ask the child to make a choice, what will the child choose? Most of the child they will choose a toy, right? A toy maybe only costs about $5. But when you grow up, you choose $100 bill. Why? Because $100 bill can buy dozens of toys. It's more valuable, right? Yeah. So you know the true value. The same thing. You know, the way we understand God's love always by counting how much God give me in material sense. Right? God give me a good job. Yes, this is the love of God. When I pray, right? God heal my sickness. Yes. This is the love of God, right? And when I'm in car accident, I pray and God protect me. I was not hurt, right? All of this, yes, it is the love of God. But this kind of grace, compared with the more important grace, this kind of grace is just like a toy. Oh, and what is more valuable is mentioned in the 1 John chapter 3. Oh. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2 talk about the love of God manifests in three ways. What is the three way? Three ways. The first way is to belong to Him, call His children. The second way is to be like Him. Oh. We will be transformed into spiritual body to be like Jesus Christ. And the third way God loves us is we are going to behold Him, see Him forever. The utmost satisfaction in your whole life, the utmost satisfaction is what? From the Bible. Probably you have not experienced yet. From the Bible, the utmost satisfaction, the utmost fulfillment is what? From the Bible. You don't know. Get a good job. Get a good spouse. Oh, that's not the utmost. Utmost is beyond that. You can never get anything better than that. Now, the utmost fulfillment or satisfaction is behold God. When you stand before God and look at God, so content. Oh, nothing more better than that. Behold God. Just like Peter, John, and James. They behold the transfiguration of Jesus. They feel so content. In the future, when the physical body been transformed into spiritual body, and that unlimited body, and we behold the unlimited glory of God, and you will be rejoiced all the times. That is the utmost goal. God save us for that. Spend time together with God and enjoy God forever. Oh, and that is the love of God. And in order to obtain that kind of enjoyment, everlasting life, we have been transformed, right? From the physical body, corrupt body of corruption, and the body which was sin, were into spiritual body, right? Right now, you have to put on the glass, right? When I was young, I really envied the people who put on the glass. But when I'm old, I'm really thankful I don't have to put on the glass. But one day, when you transform into a spiritual body, you don't have to put on the glass. It's a perfect body, right? You will never feel what? Sick. You will never feel tired. You will never feel temptation. Because it's a spiritual body. How wonderful it will. You will never feel aging. You don't have to wake up. Makeup, not wake up. Right? So you're wonderful, right? That's the best body. All right? But in order to have that kind of transformed body, we had to have a noble standard, the children of God. Right? So when the Bible says God so loves us, you talk about three things. Belong to Him, noble status. Transform like Him, glorious body. And behold Him, enjoy it. The everlasting God. And the reason we can obtain that kind of eternal blessing is all because of the love of Jesus Christ. So you look into point B. Redemption love of God, apart from shedding the blood, no remission of sin. How can we become the children of God? First, we have to deal with sin. And how can we deal with the sin? We have to follow God's principle to resolve our sin. Just like today, if the court sentences you 10 years in prison, what are you going to do? You cannot say, I have no sin, then you have no sin, right? You live in the United States, you are under the jurisdiction of the United States. The same thing. You live in the universe, it's under the jurisdiction of God. When God says you have sinned, you have no way to run. Where are you going to run? You go everywhere. There is God. Where are you going to run? The only one way is come back to follow God's way to resolve the sin. And God's way is somebody had to shed tear for you. Not tear. shed blood for you. You want somebody to shed tear for you, it's easy. Right? You tell a very touching story, everybody shed tear. All right. But if you want somebody to shed blood for you, it's not easy. Even you talk about some very touching story and other people shed tear, but can you find somebody? Let me die for you. It's not easy. No. Right? So the love of God can be understood on the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Oh. So, can you find a verse in the book of John? Right? If I've been raised up, I will attract all nations to me. This is a prophecy. John. Chapter 10. After chapter 11. Before chapter 15. Where? If I've been lifted up, I will attract all nations to me. After chapter, yeah, before chapter 13. I find it. Where? Huh? Chapter 12. Verse 32. And I, if am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Verse 33. This he said, signified by what his death would be. So Jesus predict his death will attract all people to him. Death will attract people? It's difficult to imagine, right? Usually, death is the beginning of what? Decline of influence. When you start to die, people gradually, your influence gradually fade away. Right? And when Jesus died, do you know what? He was so poor. Right? He had no outer appearance. He had nothing. But this kind of person, after he died, the influence grow stronger and stronger, wider and wider, and deeper, right? In the day of Pentecost, one day he had 5,000 followers. How come Jesus' influence so deep, so wide, so strong? Because he died for us. So love of Jesus Christ is really, really strong. And how can I die? How can I understand really the love of Jesus Christ from his crucifixion? You know, in Philippines, I always see many, many years in Philippines, every day in the time of Christmas, they always have some volunteer. They want to be crucified on the cross, but only a few minutes. The real crucifixion, a cross and nail penetrate the palm, and erase it a few minutes and put it down. Because too painful. Crucifixion is beyond our understanding. Crucifixion has three kinds of suffering. What are the three kinds of suffering? You don't know. Crucifixion has three kinds of suffering. And add up the three kinds of suffering become a bitter cup. Physically, mentally, spiritually. Three kinds of suffering. So, if you can imagine how painful the crucifixion is physically, then we can understand how much Jesus loves us. Because we are sinners. We are supposed to be crucified. Right? When you are pricked by a needle, you feel so painful. Right? But can you imagine the 3 to 5 inches of thorn, a crown, hundreds of thorns pushed into the head of Jesus, and the thorn pierced into the skull of Jesus, and all the blood kept on shedding. How painful it is. It's difficult to imagine. They took off the back of the cross of Jesus, used a whip to beat up the back of Jesus, and each whip had two ends connected with two metal pieces. And when the whip reached to the back of Jesus, the two metal just catch into the skin of Jesus, and when they pull the whip, the two metal is just like a plow over the back of Jesus. How painful it is. You don't know, right? One day, if you had to go through some surgery, you just ask the doctor, please don't apply anesthesia. Don't apply anything. Just open my stomach to see how painful it is. And that is the pain that Jesus suffered on the cross. How painful it is. It's difficult to imagine, but you can experience. Right? It's so painful. And the last time is what? They pushed Jesus on the cross, and each palm with two nails penetrate. And 2 feet collect together, another third nail penetrate. It's so painful. And they raise up Jesus Christ, and all the weight should be carried by two hands. If you want to have a breath, you have to pull your body up. When you pull your body up, what happened? The nail, the weight, the nail will make you even more painful. So the crucifixion of Jesus, the whole body is that burning fire. It's so painful. So one day, if you cannot understand how much Jesus suffered for us, how much Jesus loved us, just imagine all this kind of pain physically. This is only the beginning. Have you watched the movie The Passion of Christ? You don't. The Passion of Christ. It's talk about the crucifixion of Jesus. I went to see that. And some of church members went to see that. They only have one conclusion. It looked very cruel. Without the movement of Holy Spirit, you only watch that kind of movie, you feel the cruelty. You have no touch. No love of God touch us. So the love of God touch you, and you need to move the Holy Spirit. So this is the first suffering. The second suffering is what? Mentally. Mentally. One of the brothers was deeply depressed. Why? Because he loved his wife so much, and one day his wife moved away and tell him, from today on, we are not husband and wife. That kind of shock and being abandoned by the one you love, can you imagine? Right? One day, if a brother fall in love with a sister, and all of a sudden you see that sister waiting, right? And bridegroom is not you. How do you feel? You love a sister, when the sister get waiting and the bridegroom is not you, how do you feel? Your heart just pierced into it. The blood is dripping in your heart, right? Invisible blood dripping in your heart. So the more you love a person, when you're abandoned by that person, that kind of pain is indescribable. Jesus loved the 12 disciples. Jesus loved Peter. Right? Jesus loved Judah. And to Judah, Jesus only, the value of Jesus is what? 30 pieces of silver. Jesus died for Peter, and Peter said, I don't know him. Can you imagine? You want to die for your children, and your children publicly say, I don't know my father. How do you feel? Your heart is broken. So the love of Jesus Christ is so huge. Even the disciple abandoned him, betrayed him, sold him for 30 pieces, but he still loved them. That kind of love is difficult to comprehend. And the most touching love, the most difficult to suffer is spiritually, abandoned by God. Do you know? Spiritually, God is love. Spiritually, God is light. When our soul go into hell, there is no light and there is no love. Can you imagine if there is no light, if there is no love, what kind of life is be? It is a life in hell. Can you imagine if the family has no love, that family life is what? It's in hell. No love. No. So Jesus went to the Hades. No light, no love. Oh. So these three kinds of suffering come together at the same time. It's called bitter cup. And Jesus Christ say, I have no sin. And Pilate say, he has no sin. And how come he was crucified on the cross? It's because you and me, he paid a price. Before we know how to love him, he already loved us. Before we know how to repay his love, he already died for us. Oh. So how can we separate ourselves from the love of God? Oh, right? When you've been blessed by God in the world, become more successful, you keep on running into the world, and you already say, God, bye-bye. Right? It's just like a newlywed couple. Alright? And the bride keep on looking at the diamond, 4, 5, 6 carat, real diamond. Oh, right? In the waiting line, keep on tiring. Ah, forgot the bridegroom. Oh, what is the bridegroom say? Oi, today, do you know that's given by me? And you keep on watching that, you forgot the bridegroom. Eventually, the bridegroom say, okay, give him back to me. Oh, and you also you pay attention to the bridegroom. The same thing. Sometimes we are so cherished about a lot of blessing, we keep on indulging ourselves in the blessing, we forget about the one who gives us blessing, is Jesus Christ. So what can separate us from the love of God? If we really been touched by the love of God, we will never, never depart from him, either in tribulation or in prosperity. Right? No. Let us see. In response to God's love, nothing can separate us from God's love. Second, God's love compels us. So chapter 12 onwards, talk about live a new life. What kind of new life? A life living for Jesus in return that requires the love of God to compel us. Oh, so love of God, please, don't limit it only, oh, God loves me, so give me a good job, protect me, save in the car accident. No, more than that. Oh, God, love of God is so great, so deep. Oh, last thing, please don't sin. You know, if we sin, the one who hurts the most is the one who loves us the most. It's Jesus Christ. In order to save us from sin, he died for us. If we sin again, we re-crucify Jesus Christ. Let him suffer. Oh. So please don't sin. That's one way to show our love in response to God's love. Let's pray in silence.